Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to part two of the Grizz Den podcast.
Off season.
We've been in the off season. We've got some actual stuff to talk about. If you didn't catch part one, we went through just about every signing. We talked about Summer League. We talked about the rookies. We talked about kind of the state of the roster. Now in part two, we're going to talk about some off-the-floor stuff, particularly when it comes to Ja Morant and the media tour, if you will, that he's been having. Really, it's one main interview, but he has been on he's been in a lot of headlines recently. A lot of it was because of some bad reporting on what he actually said. We can get into that, but I'm just going to tee up Brantley here. Brantley, ooh, where do you want to start with this? Because I know you've been itching to talk about everything.
Why don't you just do your Jim Nantz on the summary of just the interview?
Sure, like, sure, sure.
Do like absolutely who it was, where it was, what sort of transpired the previous, like it's like 24 to 48 hours.
Yeah, so basically Taylor Rooks and Ja Morant have been doing...
Taylor Rooks is with Bleacher Report?
That's right. Yeah. They've been doing an annual interview around this time each year. It never has gotten a ton of press until now, this year in particular, because there were some clips released before the full interview was released, and I believe it actually came out either yesterday or today, the full one-hour interview. But there was a clip going around about Ja Morant saying that, like, if he played back when Michael Jordan played and they were in the same league, like, he would cook Michael Jordan. And then that got aggregated very incorrectly. Somebody said that Ja's quote had to do with, like, how MJ wouldn't be a superstar in this league. He would just be a regular guy. That wasn't true. And it was a joke sports account that made that up. And then ESPN ran with it in one of their shows. It was this whole big thing that I think put more emphasis on that, hopefully led more people to actually watch the real interview, because in it, Ja's obviously
and
saying...
And ESPN has today like released an official apology.
Oh, yeah, they've apologized for it. It was on one of their big shows. But if you watch the clip, too, like it was very tongue-in-cheek. Like Ja was just kind of being his like cocky, confident, joking self.
After being very respectful,
100%
about Michael Jordan, yes.
100%.
Yeah, I think that's where. So, like, it's a great like it, the principle to me on this was that like there's been very few, because I've listened to those interviews previously that he's done, and there's really hasn't been a whole lot in my opinion that's been very revealing in there. They've always been good. I thought this interview was excellent from multiple perspectives. I thought the questions that were asked were not just surface level questions. I thought they were fairly deep from an emotional perspective, from a how Ja trains perspective, the way he thinks about new age media, with Twitter, getting into even like, I really don't even want to ruin it, because it just, for Grizz fans,
yeah, should go watch
it's very worth going to watch. and pay attention to, because it's a different, I do think it's an interesting look into this, you know, budding superstar, maybe not even budding anymore, that we have on our roster. And I was obviously watching it just kind of like waiting for the clip, like when is the MJ thing going to happen? And Ja does, I would say maybe 15% of the time, in my opinion, he towed this line of sort of being like, what I would say is like Kobe-like confident, where he is a superstar. So he's going to think he's better than a lot of players that are currently active. And like, you know, Josh should think that way. Dylan Brooks should not think that way. Dylan Brooks should be very confident, but he shouldn't think that he's better than LeBron or could go against MJ if like a terrible scenario.
I mean, for example, one of the things that I noticed where he, you know, one of the first questions was about his contract, and the very first thing he said about it was, "I earned it."
Yeah.
Which, if you look at it, it makes you kind of like, ooh, is that really what I want him to say? But then it's kind of like, well, I want my superstar to think that he is worth that and to play up to that level.
And then his next follow to all of that is, but now it's time to go get back to work.
Exactly. That's what, exactly.
And he's like, and I'm not the kind of guy, you know, he was referencing back to, if you read the Sports Illustrated articles, I think it was Sports Illustrated last year that summarized his sort of in the dark theme. I can't remember the journalist that did that whole reporting that was excellent about how he trained, why he trained, why he didn't post about training, which this is another awesome social trend that you see NFL quarterbacks following. Our boy, you know, from LSU, Joe Burrow, does the same thing where he's not posting about working out in the gym every day. He's like, this is my job. I'm going to be in the gym every day. I'm not going to post about it. Ja is the same way. And so he goes that spectrum. So to the confidence angle. And then there's other elements where I would say I came away hearing the whole interview with a primarily like, oh, this was a very humble.
Totally.
Confident human who loves what he does, is grateful for what's happened. You came away, if you listen to the whole interview, there are clips where you could take them out of context and be like, I don't like that kid. 100%. When you listen to the whole thing, you're like, nah, he clearly has a good relationship with who he was being interviewed by, and
Taylor Rooks.
Thank you. I couldn't think of it off the top of my head. And which then sets up the tongue in cheek sort of moment with MJ, where when you hear it, you're like, he's not at all. It was all in the context of, just go listen to it, of like how he was speaking at the All-Star game, how he missed the chance to talk to MJ. Anyway, all that content is so great. And the way ESPN aggregated it is a great like side narrative that we could just go all in the paint on, in terms of just how terrible it is that it got aggravated.
Speaking of Michael Jordan, what would Michael Jordan have done in the interview?
The same thing
Ja did.
Kobe did the same thing.
Right.
So it's like all of these guys, and there is this sort of like, I mean, Ja is getting past, whether he takes it and maintains it. Like Bill Simmons talks about this all the time, and so did Jackie McMullen in her excellent podcast series about sort of like NBA superstars and how there is this secret
icon
society where these players, they pass the baton on to the next stars. And LeBron is doing that to Ja and Tatum and Luka. Like, he's saying that stuff publicly. Ja, even in this interview, is saying like how grateful it is he's being talked about and like the type of responsibility that he has to maintain it. That is like a very humble superstar. Hopefully he can maintain, like we want him to maintain it, because I think it brings a ton of success to the city and all those types of things. So like that's one side of it. I have a whole nother take, but I don't want to go outside of that yet until I let all of you react to just like that sort of summary of what was happening.
What do you think, Kraft?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the way I felt. I mean, I think that he, you know, right after saying I earned it, he also said, I called my family and said kind of like, we did it.
Yeah.
Like, we did this. And I just, you know, for me, listening to a lot of podcasts and a lot of media, I do think that a lot of especially older media people, or even honestly, even millennial media people who kind of are nervous about Jaws, you know, use of Twitter, social media things. And I just think, but you have to balance that out with how his teammates feel about him. How his Murray State teammates feel about him, because he keeps getting him all these jobs with the Hustle. But like, you know, his loyalty, you know, the way the rookies talk about him, and like he would come to Salt Lake City and play with, you know, and practice with them before summer league after making, you know, $193 million contract. So I just think, you know, you have to balance all that out. And I agree. Like that is, he is humble, but he's confident. Like, yeah. And he is, and, but you have to be,
yeah,
you have to be confident to be where he wants to be.
Also, I've talked about this with you guys, specifically in our text thread, but just like, if you look at the landscape of an NBA superstar and what I like to call like the life cycle of an NBA superstar, you start out by everybody loving you when you burst onto the scene for the first time. And then when you don't win in your first year of that happening, you might not win in your second. The public's going to turn. And they're going to say, this guy is all talk. He's not a winner. Why are we giving him this much attention, even though the public was the one who put him on the platform in the first place? It's a really backwards thing. And then when you finally win, then everybody turns back and they're like, oh, we knew it the whole time. We were right. Ja's about to enter phase two. And you can see it happening right now with the controversy in his confidence. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something to watch for Grizzlies fans. Don't get fooled. This is what happens to everyone. It happened with Giannis. It happened with LeBron. Like, Giannis is the best player in the NBA right now, arguably. LeBron has been the best player. Like, Jaws may not get to their level, but it happened to them.
Durant.
So like, Durant, oh my gosh, he's still.
And Curry, I mean,
Durant
everyone.
Still won, right. And it's happening because he didn't do it by himself. So, like,
that's right.
Don't get fooled by this. Just know that we have a superstar on our hands, and he's going to get treated like that, and it's a good thing.
And Dame too, like, can you win with your his size?
Yes.
The way they built around him. You know, I've said this multiple times that, I think that Curry is kind of entering into this new realm of, like, is he a top five player of all time type person? Like, impact on the game, changing the game, what he's done to the team, to just the NBA in general. And yet, he was, before they won their first championship, he was a can he stay healthy enough to win guy. And so, without spoiling the whole interview, one of the things Ja really talks about is how he's super focusing on what his durability looks like. These are like music to our ears, because if you watch him,
yes.
The balancing act of how he plays, he's like, I've always played this way, and yet that means that I have to train differently. And so those are all things that you're like, well, this is great to hear as a fan. And for any Ja fan, you're like, yeah, dude, like, let's see what that looks like. He, like, the emotion that he reveals in the interview just about what it was like to sit out of the Golden State series and be a part of that. It's so I would be shocked if any person didn't listen to that and not come away as a huge loving fan of Ja, versus the, like, when you hear the MJ quote, you're like, dude, who the is this kid? Which is the way it got aggregated.
Which is
it's
the
so
way I
polar opposite.
Got texted by like 30 of my casual NBA fans all texted me about that quote, the fake quote. Like, not even the out of context quote, but the totally fake quote. And I mean, I will say also, and I think for Grizzlies fans, I mean, like as far as poking the bear, I mean, the two fan bases, i.e. Warriors fan base and Laker fan base, are the two that our team has gone after the most too, and they're going to be the brutal.
They take up 50% of the market share, yes. On Twitter, if you notice. Like, it's all Warriors and Lakers.
Yeah. But one thing, a story I heard this actually afternoon, shout out to a podcast I enjoy called, it's a paywall podcast, but Greatest of All Talk, GOAT podcast. But Ben Golliver and Andrew Sharp are talking about Summer League, and they talked about, it was kind of an aside at the end, but they were like, hey, just, they were talking about the weird Lakers thing, about Russell Westbrook on one side, LeBron. But he said, but by the way, one thing
just
that was,
wait, hold on. What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about.
Just at the Summer League, the Lakers were playing. LeBron was on one side with kind of his entourage.
Eating his sack of like
LeBron
brought his own snacks his to Summer mix. League. It was a whole thing.
And then Russell Westbrook weirdly like sat on the other side and like just from them it said like the whole media row, it was like the most awkward like, you know, two broken up people in the same place type feel. But one of the things that they said as an aside was they said we'll get to that in a second. But one of the things that stood out was LeBron was there, you know, and there was a little bit of a buzz like LeBron's here. And they said, but then Ja walked in and the place totally changed.
Hell yeah.
And they said that they thought that all the kids were going to break down like the like bleacher kind of gates.
That's what's
to
up.
Get to Jaw. And he, and basically Ben Golliver said, I mean, it's weird to say, but it feels like a torch has been passed.
That's what's up.
I got chills when I heard it too. But I mean, that's what we're talking
Let's
about.
Go.
Ja.
Hey, if you look on the metrics, all the social media metrics, like by far most page views, most engagement is with Ja.
Right.
And second was Steph.
Right.
Yeah, it's like crazy.
And Steph has never really been a big Vegas summer league guy.
Right.
There was this kind of like that Ja is now the guy who gets the buzz at summer league when he walks in the building.
It's great. Oof. What was your second?
I thought
y'all'd
like that.
Well, so now you just sort of – so I think one of the last thing about the interview at the very end, they asked Ja sort of like – there was a comment from like a user-generated question of like what he wants to be known by.
Oh, yeah.
Like his one word. This is the like one thing I'll spoil because he says, I want to be known as like the most exciting player of all time, which is totally achievable, attainable, and ownable. Like – I'm about to juxtapose that. I would say that LeBron, there's a lot of things that he could be known as. I think he's probably like the savviest player of all time. The way that, at least that's how I will remember him. The way that he handled his negotiations with franchises. He didn't do everything perfectly, but the way that he built his own sort of media empire along the way in sort of like this new age, his PR machine, all of the things that he's done over time, he has been so media savvy in what he's done. And it really started as soon as he came into the league. And I am under this weird, sort of like a little scared, honestly, of it thing where I think Ja is just as savvy because of the generation that he's grown up in. Like LeBron was growing with tech while it was happening and being savvy with it and being on the forefront almost to the point where it was very off-putting at times. Ja is kind of like entering into it like alongside of it to me in a way how he handles Twitter and he is himself and he, you know, isn't afraid to kind of be himself at times and delete stuff or go back and forth or just be super revealing about how he's handling things with like living his best life at times. And I think that a lot of people would say that's a little bit against it. And I'm only saying I'm starting to see some hints of him getting exceptionally savvy. And I think that there was some sprinkling of this in his interview because the other spoiler that I would say is that he was asked a question of like, who are the other like most athletic people in the league? And so he's like, well, me, I'm number one. Duh. So he's going to say that. But his next two people are Ant-Man and Zach LaVine. And I'm like, okay, let me just take a step back. Where we're at, where the league is heading. Anthony Edwards, poverty-ass franchise with the T-Wolves, made the dumbest trade of all time 2 weeks ago. The dumbest trade of all time. You can bleep it. I don't care. So dumb. Go Google it. In 3 years, 2 years, it wouldn't surprise me if that guy's asking out of that place. I think he's breadcrumbing with Levine. I think both of those guys, Josh sees as, and this goes back to what we were talking about in the first, in the part one pod of why he doesn't have a player option. He's here. He's now saying, I'm the guy, you come here. And whether it's Ant or Levine, and this is not going to materialize for at least 3 years, but that's what we're setting up for, I think.
It'll be interesting.
And Ant-Man and Ja next to each other. Holy Moses, how amazing would that be?
That'd be fun. I wanted to make a point off of what you had mentioned, because I think that's really apt. When you're talking about LeBron and kind of what he sort of created was this this belief among players that you can control your narrative. It doesn't have to be the media. And the way that LeBron has approached it is heavy production, huge PR team. Let's do everything very calculated. And I think Ja is sort of now, I think the LeBron way of doing it is now becoming the old fashioned way. Because now what do people want? They want authenticity.
That's right.
Ja now has a documentarian basically following him.
All the time, full time.
If you look at the three episodes that they've dropped this offseason, like the first one is through the playoffs, which is really interesting. It's like a 5-minute clip. And it shows him like, you know, working out in between games or like recovering, doing what he needs to do. The second one, I kid you not, it's like 15 minutes long. 10 minutes of this episode is like his friends playing Madden. Like it's nothing. Just them sitting around. And I was like, all right, how long is this
going to
last?
He's probably in a tracksuit, right?
Ja's not even one of the people playing. He's just sitting there laughing at their jokes. Like, this is nothing. And then the clip went viral of him tipping the waitress. Like, he's not trying to look any sort of way. Like, they're in a Denny's. Or I don't even know what
it was. An Applebee's.
Like, an Applebee's. Thank you. But, like, what?
In Dallas.
I appreciate the accuracy.
Like, he is not trying to look any way. He's just trying to be Ja. And I think, but at the same time, it's still a produced content.
It's produced. That's exactly right. The video person on this is, it's the best. I had meant to make that point, and I'm so glad you cleaned it up, because that is the other side of it. I don't know how many other NBA players are like, I mean, I'm sure there are, but he's like also in his interviews being like, yeah, go look at this guy. Like he's making it a like. It's not a huge focal point of like his business empire thing that he's trying to build at this point in time. But dude, he talked about it. He knows how mentioned he is. He knows he's the most mentioned person. I bet he knows where he ranks in jersey sales. That dude is competitive as hell in everything. So like there is this like evolution of Ja too that's about to be happening, even like outside of him as the basketball player, that I assuming that his durability picks up, there's another level that's like this new trajectory that I don't think that we ever could have anticipated, that I also think is, it becomes exceptionally attractive to the other superstar types who haven't done it. Because then they can bolt onto it and they benefit monetarily and from the media exposure. And LeBron had that effect on all types of players.
Can I also mention something, too, from the basketball side? You think about LeBron and the way that he sort of is like any player. I think about Kevin Love in this respect. He joined up with LeBron. He used to be a franchise guy before he did. And all of a sudden, he was kind of like broken down to what was the most essential part of his game, and that was rebounding and threes. He's a 3-and-D, basically.
Right.
Ja, however, is a small point guard whose primary skill is getting everyone else involved and scoring when he needs to, which is late in games. But throughout a game, who doesn't love playing with Ja?
Yeah.
You haven't heard anything about anybody complaining, not getting their touches. He's opportunistic when he needs to be, but he is trying to get you what you need.
Right.
LeBron would have had Dylan traded 10 games in.
Oh, my gosh.
Dylan would not have lasted with LeBron.
Honestly, the other part of it, too, is that Ja in the interview is saying, and we've spoiled a lot of it, but this is not a huge spoiler, but he's just saying, like, he believes that they have a championship team right now in Memphis. Yeah. And he says the front office has done a good job bringing guys in who are not only hungry, but are buying in. That's, he believes
he's,
we have it right now.
The goat.
He did.
Yeah, it's freaking awesome. Yeah, I just, y'all know that I love in the media side of things to like read between the lines. It's like kind of like what I do for a living a little bit. And like, I think he's already more strategic in lots of ways than we even want to like give credit for. And I think there's a lot of other athletic guys that he could have thought of. He didn't mention Zion. Just there's like five guys right now that I'm like, really? Like, and I don't know. He just isn't like, if all of a sudden, could you imagine like in a year, if all of a sudden one of those guys starts getting linked to the Grizzlies, somebody's going to go back to that, to this. This is the first time that he talked publicly about other guys athletically outside of the Grizzlies. And all of a sudden, it's this sort of weird LeBron narrative that LeBron is just like unconsciously, and just like it is, it's disgusting how his media, it's just sort of latches on to like kind of the weird breadcrumbs of him pulling people in, like so much to like the All-Star draft that he's drafting people that he wants to play with.
Yeah. I will say, as just an aside, I think those are two pretty good picks if you're supposed to rank athleticism. Like,
agreed.
Objectively.
Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed.
However, I also think that those two guys are, even though I know that LaVine just signed a max deal, like, it just wouldn't shock me, though, if he ends up on another team in this contract. I don't
100%.
Know. And then Ant-Man, who knows? Because, like, that could get old playing with Gobert and Towns and...
Old, he doesn't hate him, but he's already talked shit about him.
If you're Ant-Man, watched the movie that he's like, I just, he, there's no way that he's gonna think that that's additive to him at all.
It feels like Edwards is gonna have to deal with another man in the paint constantly because of that guy too. So, but I, to your point, I mean, I think, in the same way as, like, you know, y'all famously said last year, you know, y'all and Ty were talking about how, you know, the long term, how this front office has the long term in view. Like, they are always, they're not going to ever sacrifice, you know, the next season, as we saw. Some of us wondered if, but obviously we did not sacrifice short term either. But they always have this long term view in mind. We've talked about that with Conchar and other things. I think Jaw is the same way. And I think even the way he's done the advertising that he's chosen to do, like, I think he's even kind of slow playing his exposure. Like, because sometimes I think he's not even, like, he could be so much bigger. He could have been on so many more commercials. And I think he's doing a good job of understanding, I think, what you talked about, which is that the backlash phase. Like, I think he's aware of all these things. And he is figuring out how to navigate. And that's why I think that the weird fake aggregation is sort of so funny. Because I think he, you know, that's exactly not what he's trying to come across as. And I think it's just very interesting because I keep waiting for the Nike thing to drop. And same. I just think I think there is like, they're slow playing it in a very cool way. And I think that speaks to your point about his savviness, and how he chooses to let himself be known and all those sorts of things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he's out west. So if you started hearing rumors of him like making trips to Portland, it's coming.
I need the shoe.
I can't wait. I mean, he's got the drink, he's got the underwear, he's got Hulu Live TV. I mean, he's got a Nike drop.
Spider-Man.
He's got Spider-Man. I mean,
Spider-Man.
It's like, I mean, seriously, like, it. Anyway, we maybe spent too long on this, but I whatever.
All right.
I think it's fine to, one, talk about it now and to continue to celebrate that we have a superstar and that we might have the face of the league for the next 6-7 years.
Like, for real, we talked about this in part one. I'm serious. I will be shocked if we don't have a Christmas Day game this year.
Yeah.
Oh.
Shocked.
Pencil it in.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. All right. Y'all want to talk trade value reaction?
I would love to do trade value reaction.
Let's do it. So Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo had their last Sunday night podcast of the year.
I heart that podcast so much. Yeah.
It's a good one.
Russillo, Bill.
I know they kept talking. They made me freak me out by they kept acting like this is the end, and I'm like till December, right?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But like the way they were talking just made it feel weird. Like yeah. there was contracts coming up or something.
It's a good pairing because obviously Simmons is at this point just like hyperbolic as heck, but then Russillo is the most like down to earth, let's stay realistic person possible. And so when they meet in the middle, it really is fantastic content.
Yeah, he does not fear Simmons.
Oh, not at all.
He calls him on stuff.
But basically what they do or what Simmons has done every year for a long time is basically rank the top. This year he did 64, but basically like the top 50 to 60 guys in terms of trade value. And the way that is important to think about trade value is not necessarily like who are the best players in the league right now. It's more about who, if you pitted like two players against each other, which team would say no to the other player first. And you basically just whittle it down until you have like the top guy that no one would say, yes to any trade for this guy. And so for instance, Giannis is like number one in this category. You're not going to trade him for anyone.
Yeah. Bill literally says this is not a player ranking list.
Yeah. And a lot of people of course online are going to be confused by that. And, it's just how it is these days. But, yeah, this is really interesting because, definitely it matters how old the players are. It matters how much money they're making. And I think there's also kind of like an X factor too, that's kind of hard to quantify, but kind of like how much do they mean to their respective teams, and how like in the zeitgeist, how confident are you that they are the type of player that you want in your organization?
Yeah.
It's hard to put your finger on that.
I.e. the Kyrie Harden, Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant,
factor. Exactly. You're not just taking their skills in a vacuum. You have to consider all aspects.
Yeah, the rules are like the period of time matters, the salary matters, age matters.
Yep.
All those types of things.
So I think the way that we could frame this discussion, because we could honestly talk about this for like hours, but I think we should keep it as Grizzlies focused as possible.
100%.
Do you agree?
100%. Grizzlies only. Can I just like make a suggestion? Let's just, we just talked about Ja for an hour. Let's just like, Ja came in fifth.
He did.
Let's spoil
it. Nuts.
It's nuts. Okay. So the people ahead of him are Curry, Jokic, Doncic, Giannis.
Yep.
Antetokounmpo, excuse me, because I went last names on all of them. And the Grizz, the way that this is should go, because we're going to talk about Bane, Jaren, Dillon, anybody else on this list that we want to add in, is like, so Group A, the way Bill did it, was completely and utterly untouchable. All those four guys are ahead of Ja in that group. Group B is the untouchables, and Ja is in this other list, but Ja is fifth, and the order is mattering. And so like the way I thought about this was, would I, because Ja is now basically a max, would I take any of those players over Ja in a trade heads up straight up? And I don't think that I would take any of them.
I think Giannis, we'd have to have a meeting like that. And that's
like how long of a meeting?
And that's the thing, you know, so for people who don't ever listen to it, that is one of the things that Simmons and Russillo talk about is like, would you immediately say no, or would you like actually have to take a meeting about
it? Is this
it?
Like an in-person, like serious meeting? Or are we doing a Zoom conference call just to say that we
like
had a meeting?
Like a Zoom conference call. I mean, I think it's like a, I have, like, am I just making an emotional decision here? It's Giannis. He's probably the best player in the world. And so he is the only one, you know, I mean, I'm actually mad. I'd have.
You're mad to admit that you would have a call.
Well, no. I'm mad about some of the other names on that list. But
well,
I,
yeah, we're
I definitely
get there.
For Giannis. But Giannis is the one guy for me that I just think you have to have a talk about just because of his impact on both sides of the floor, in comparison to Jaw, but I think a lot of the intangibles we just talked about for the last few minutes make me also want to say no to Giannis and just Memphis and everything else. I mean, so, but all that said is Giannis is the only person that would give me pause on that four.
Tell me about it, Will. I mean,
if you're talking about Group A, like realistically, Steph Curry, obviously, like the age thing is right. What rules him out for me.
He can't bring those four championships with him, or three, however many he has.
Jokic is a guy who I think is like he takes up a space on the floor where you want somebody who's like elite defensively as a rim protector. He is not elite defensively, however, he most certainly is, in my opinion, like the best, if not, you know, top two offensive player in the NBA. And Luka, Luka and Giannis, I would.
I would have a conversation
and I would probably.
So realistically,
right, which is funny to me because Luka's the easiest no ever.
Okay, that's the thing though. You're putting Luka, I would think you're putting Luka in the Grizzlies system. Like, I honestly think the Grizzlies system, front office, everything is a lot better than the Mavericks. In my opinion, I think it's a different ecosystem. Luka's size and shooting are what do it for me. Ja, I always will worry about his 30s.
Yep.
But at this moment in time, it'd be really hard. I mean, I'd probably run it with Ja instead of saying yes.
So if this
was
a Grizz list, to if I'm playing Bill on this, then you would be saying, let's bump Ja to 3.
Honestly, I'd probably say 4. Jokic you would and Ja take Jokic. To me are tied.
If Denver called and said, hey, look, we love Jokic, but we're worried about Murray, we'll give you Jokic for Ja straight up.
Jokic
you
is would, like,
you'd take
he
it.
Never doesn't play, and he's incredible. He's a back-to-back MVP. Like, yeah, I would definitely think about it.
Think about it.
So I think
Jokic are tied at 3 for me.
You cannot win big with a center who's not good defensively.
I would build around Jokic differently than how they're building around
him. This is about to sound terrible, but like I just am also going to put a lot of value on the fact that Ja, of the top five, he's two of the only Americans on there.
I mean, yeah,
and
for
I
sure.
think that sort of has some weird like thing to me. I don't not because I'm like proud to be an American necessarily. I think I'd put him 3, and I think I might even the Luka thing and the. I
disagree with y'all so hard on Luka.
I don't love where Luka is right now in his like progression.
Keep giving me Instagram photos of him being in shape and him looking muscular, like in those weird filters, so that I can make even more money when the Grizz win the division again this year. Keep doing it.
I love cheering against him.
Luka is a team cancer. His teammates don't like him. He's never going to be a winner.
Period. I'm with you. I'm taking you.
All my hot takes on Luka. I would laugh if they called trying to give me Luka for Ja. All the things you just talked about for the last 30 minutes.
You're right.
Luka is
you're
the
right.
anti
Thank you.
Of that.
You're right. You're right.
In every way. And
Ja's
I'm the culture
on my
guy.
List.
And so I'm all, I mean, and oh man, if my Dallas friends hear this pod, they're going to hate me. But
it's part two. We can forward it to him.
He is so good. I enjoy watching him play. He might end up having a better career than Ja. I don't know. Even just as a fan, Ja is just so much more fun. He makes the team so much better. Just everything about him. I continue to think Luka is overrated. Anyway,
I love your point.
Love it.
And I'm in agreement on my personal list of which we're editing this on the podcast. Ja is number 2 for me on this list behind Giannis.
How about before putting him number 2 on your list, him come into camp once in shape?
Wait, what do you
it's
mean?
It's odd to say. For Luka, I'm just saying.
No.
How about putting Ja
too?
Sorry. I'm talking to Luka too. I'm still mad at Simmons and Russell.
You're trying to convince Will.
Will. Yeah. I'm still,
but still
upset.
It's a great list for Ja to be on number 5 on this list.
No, again, and that's big picture. It's unbelievable we have a Grizzly at 5 on this list. So I feel like I'm really complaining. But, you know, and Russillo and Simmons and a lot of other NBA people will continue to be messed over by Luka, but that's
okay.
Fine.
Do we want to go to Bane?
It's a
next?
Great point. Honestly, yeah, let's go.
Let's go to Bane. Okay, so
by the way, one more point. I would have Tatum and Edwards above Embiid.
100%.
And I wouldn't put Mobley in the untouchables list.
No.
In my opinion. Mobley was incredibly high for me.
I wouldn't trade Jaren for Mobley.
Oh, so, I can't wait to argue spoiler that
alert.
Point with
that's
you.
A spoiler alert. Can we stop crowning people after 1 year? Let's anyway.
I'm with you. Okay. But
thank you.
Sorry, I'm bringing fair. All the hot
no,
takes.
No, I love it.
This
is,
Mobley ahead of Davis is where that one gets really weird. Like, come on. Okay, but we're not.
Mobley
we're here to talk about Grizz.
He
we're
like
here to talk about the Grizz. Okay, so like I feel like we're not going to go through this entire list. There's a whole other podcast that does that. We're here just to react to the list and talk about it Grizz centrically and sort of reference the other group tiers. So essentially, Bane was placed at number. I thought he was 30.
He's in the 40s.
He's in the 40s. Okay, he's at 48, which is in Group J, titled the Ginobili's, the playoff guys, which is 50 Tyler Hero, 49 Jordan Poole, 48 Desmond Bane, 47 Marcus Smart, 46 Jalen Brunson, 45 Andrew Wiggins, 44 Mikal Bridges. And so then the point of our discussion then is right place. Should he be higher, and or where does it start to break where you're like, yeah, I would take that player for the like in the Grizzlies team structure, contract, all of that in mind, instead of Bane.
Okay,
because I think that then this is the interesting one because the whole contract thing with Bane, I think, ended with a Grizz lens. Catalyzes him way ahead of this tier, in my opinion.
I think, obviously, I don't like the way that Group I is named.
The Westbrooks.
I believe that Bane actually belongs here. I think that Bradley Beal would not make my trade value list. I think that is the worst contract now in the NBA.
Yeah, the fact they still did this when he has a no trade clause.
I think that this is going to ruin the Wizards for the next 5 years. I feel incredibly strongly about the Beal contract. You could even convince me it could be worse than John Wall's.
So I would say that, and again, Bradley Beal's made one All-NBA team. I would say that Desmond Bane's season last year was as good as most of Bradley Beal's seasons.
Yes.
And he's making $2 million.
I also, who was around this this area with him, with Bane, I had one more that I know would not be above him, and it was Brunson now is making $25 million a year. I would not put Brunson above Bane on this list. Wiggins, I would not put above Bane on this list. Bridges, I might still have him. I like Bridges a lot. Jaden Ivey, I mean,
I'm even annoyed they put
rookies
who haven't played a single NBA game on the list.
So let's react to the list the way they did it. Like I think Bane belongs in Group G. Too young, too cheap, too good. Please stop calling us, because he's on the books for the next 2 years for a total of like $5 million. And if Paolo and Chet and Jabari and LaMelo, I know like that tier is like they're the rising superstars. But the way the list is named, I mean, he really is like he's worth us. He's worth more to us than you. Like that, there's some like I'd be fine with him 34. He's like he's worth more to us than other teams, and he's too young, too cheap. He's too cheap. Like, stop calling us.
I honestly think some of this list was a result of people not really understanding how injured Bane was in a lot of the playoffs.
So, like, if he had stayed healthy, he has an incredible – has a great Warriors series to complement his Timberwolves series.
I mean, I'm not – like, people are going to freak out, but what makes Curry amazing is he shoots an amazing – percentage from three on high volume. That is Bane. Bane is good defensively. He is solid defensively. I mean, his issue is his height. That is probably the only weakness he has, and a little bit of his handle. But he's even shown some playmaking skills and some other things. I just like potential to me, just like looking at all these, some of these people who haven't even played a game yet. I'm just shocked that he's behind so many like rookies.
Like for the grit, I mean, my opinion, for Grizzlies, like, I start to get down to this list. I'm looking at this and I'm like, okay, who would I take over Bane? Like, you call me straight up now. You make the salaries work, but, like, would I do LaVine for Bane? Probably. Would I do Siakam, Gobert, Towns? Hell to the no. Would I do Kawhi? Yes. Would I do Zion? I'm on the record as saying maybe. So, like, that's where it starts to break. So, like, this whole, like, for me, I wouldn't do LaMelo. I don't think I'd do Jabari. I don't think I'd do Jalen. Like, I think that's why I feel like, for me, he's in, like, this top 30 list. But and he's really from a Grizzlies in that area.
Like, I just think people don't realize.
I think that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think people realize, like, he was our best offensive player last year for a lot of the year because Ja was injured.
I know.
And, like, I don't think people realize how good he is.
And,
And his shoulders are ginormous.
He's making $2 million this year and three next year.
Like, yeah, five total over 2 years.
If you're talking trade value, every team in the league wants Desmond Bane.
And again, the intangible stuff too. It's all there. He's like, he's probably getting up shot. Well, he's in Vegas now, but I mean, he's shooting in high school gyms somewhere as we speak.
Okay, but
probably.
Like, so let's end this like right now. Like, so that, like, would you take, if the Pelicans called tomorrow and said, we'll give you Brandon Ingram, you give us Bane and some and Adams for Brandon Ingram, would you do that trade?
I mean, I'd have to think about it because of the size and the wing thing, but it would definitely be
It'd be hard.
It'd be hard just because of Ingram and culture stuff.
So let's kind of, let's just assume that culture trump, that our culture can trump all.
But I, like, totally get, pick, I mean, but I totally am not going to, like, I'm not going to have a conniption about
right
Ingram being above Bane.
But no. You do it, like, if some of it is even like body type fit, you do Ingram.
I probably would.
Would you do Jalen Brown?
But again, I'll say this, Jalen, yes.
That's the point of this exercise.
But what I'll say for the Ingram, so the Ingram thing for me is, what kind of player is he? Bane, if you could create, because this is the way I feel about Jaren too, if you could create a shooting guard to put with Jaw.
That's right.
Like,
that's
maybe
whole thing.
Maybe give Bane, but maybe 2 more inches, that's which the point is why I like the Jaylen Brown thing. But, like, I mean, and so for Ingram, it's like, he's like, I need the ball in my hands. I need to go one-on-one. Like, that is not the guy we would want next
right
to Jaw.
So to this point, Houston calls and we're like, man, Jalen Green really has trouble, like, holding his own in Houston. He can't handle all the strip clubs here.
No.
Plus, in
our minds, he's even ahead of Darius Garland on this list.
Speaking of, but going back to
he's
your previous
30.
Column, Jalen Green's another guy that Jaws put out the breadcrumbs about, by the way.
I know.
Knowing that guy's going to want to be somewhere
else
in a couple years.
I'd have Bane at 31. I would take probably Garland would be my line.
Yeah.
Line in the sand.
But how's that Bane fit with Jaws?
Right. I mean, that's where at some point in the list you have to kind of be
this
like,
is the Grizzlies that I'm putting.
Yeah, the Grizzlies, I would have them before Garland because we have Jaw.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden, if OKC calls and, like, we'll give you Chet for Bane straight up, like, you're, I mean, it's the number 2 overall pick. You're, I mean, it's hard, but anyway, I think that's just like,
I think 30-31.
30-31. Like, he's really 10 points higher. Okay, I think that it's all, like, that was a really helpful exercise because the Jaren part of this is going to be exceptionally difficult.
Yes.
There's
going to be less agreement. There's going to be less agreement with Jaren.
So let's take a quick break.
We're
back.
And we're back. Okay, so Jaren here is in Group K. Accurately for Jaren, in my opinion,
that's the
called
worst
the Upside
ever.
Gang.
Worst ever.
That is the okay.
We so would
the,
not
hold on, hold on, like, stop. Stop. I've got to set the list for the people who have not read this article or listened to the podcast, and for y'all to react. Okay, so the Group K, the Upside Gang, is 57-51 out of a total list of 64 and like 15 honorable mentions. Number 57, Tyrese Halliburton. 56, Maxey. 55, Herb Jones. 54, Triple J. 53, RJ Barrett. 52, Franz Wagner. 51, Josh Giddey. And then if you look at the next tier, it's like where Bane was just a second ago. So basically, Triple J is one tier above where Bane is. Yeah. Kraft, I will now allow you to have the floor.
2 points I'll make, and I'm trying to make them unemotionally before I get more fired up. One, I think Bane is more on the trading block than Jaren to our front office. I think that's pretty clear. Secondly, I guarantee you that the Nets would trade KD if in a Jaren Jackson, and I think our front office would say no. And Kevin Durant is 10th on this list, and I think our front office would not trade Jaren for Kevin Durant, who is 10th on this list. And I think that says something, at least through the Grizz lens, front office. So I'm not saying I agree with that, but I would say that I believe, and of course we don't ever know, I fully believe our front office would not trade for Kevin Durant if Jaren had to be in the deal. I think they would say no.
I want Will to make his points, but we're going to do the same exercise that we just did with Bane that we had to do with Ja with Jaren.
Okay.
Going all the way to number one. But Will, make your rebuttal.
I want
your opinions. This is not about front office. This is about Kraft and Walker.
Yeah. I mean,
fit, contract, all the rules.
I really do think that the leap Jaren took defensively last year is always going to be forgotten when you pit it against offensive leaps. Defense just doesn't stick in the mind like offense does. However, when you look at, and I made this point on a prior podcast, when you look at the final four teams in the NBA, they were all top six defensive teams. Jaren is our best defensive player. He was on first team defense. If he had played a little bit more, I could have seen him really get legitimate run in the all defensive player of the year. Those guys don't come around very often, and oh, by the way, he's 23. So I have him probably a lot higher than they do in this group. Maybe I do have a little bit of a concern about his offensive game and how specifically shooting, and how that's going to develop. So I would be a little bit. When you're looking at him versus a bunch of these players, the exercise is going to be really helpful for me because I honestly don't know where I would put him. All I know is I would have him probably 10, 15 spots higher out the gate. And right. You could then talk me incrementally into rising.
By the way, he's 22 still.
22.
He'll be 23 in September.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So here's what I will say. So other than Mobley in the top nine, which includes Ja, if those teams call and offer you a trade straight up player for player, I hope that we're all saying that we would agree.
I have two players I would not trade him for in the top
Embiid?
Nine. Embiid would be the other one.
And Curry?
No.
You would take Curry?
Well, no, I would. I would actually. Because we have Ja, I wouldn't. Because we have Ja and Bane, I wouldn't trade him for Curry. Just because, again, the age thing. But I would say I'd rather have Jaren than Embiid. I'd rather have Jaren than Mobley. I know that's a hot take.
And you'd rather have Jaren than
Embiid's not a winner.
Steph Curry.
So he's an injury prone loser. There we go.
Okay.
Sorry, you're getting my NBA hot takes tonight.
I love your hot takes. Fantastic. This is the point of the discussion.
Why am I going to trade Jaren for an older, more injury-prone player who is not as good defensively and who's never made it past the second round?
I love it.
And who, by the way, when I already have a player who's just as good defensively, who doesn't demand the ball, who's not a diva, and by the way, can't shoot the three as well as Jaren can.
Jaren had an outlier year.
I don't think that's an outlier year.
Is it?
I would say out of the nine, I would still keep Jaren above Mobley.
Mobley is out of place. I will say this. That
I mean, it could be there. I mean, I'm saying from what I know, from what I've seen production-wise, I'm just not there yet on Mobley.
It's been 1 year.
And for those listening, it's Giannis, Luka, Jokic, Steph, Ja, Embiid, Tatum, Edwards, Mobley. Those are the top.
And
five.
Then Durant is
and
number 10.
And then Durant
10.
Is
10. So I also would not trade
I think Durant. Mobley shouldn't be number 9, but I also think Mobley's the better Jaren. That's what I think will play out over time. I was on the record on the draft of saying that I would trade if the Cavs offered us their pick for Jaren. I would have taken it and taken Mobley. I think that his shot is more pure. I think he moves. He's not a giraffe on the court. But I would take every player on that list, including Kevin Durant, for Jaren right now.
What about the Group D? Let's get down to the Group D.
I just wanted to make that very clear on where I stand. The next group, Group D, Trae Young, Scottie Barnes, Cade, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker.
That was 17 to 11.
That was 17 to 11. I would not do Trae. I would think hard about Scottie. I would think hard about Cade. I would not do Paul George, I don't think. I would think about it. I don't think that I would do it. I would not do Butler. It would be really fun. I would really consider Anthony Davis, but I think that he's basically Jaren 5 years from now, or however, whatever the age bracket is. And I would 100% do it for Devin Booker. I would laugh if they called and made it a conversation, Booker for Jaren straight up.
I mean, obviously, I'm going to very much disagree with all that. Or not disagree with all that. I mean, obviously, Trae, because we already have Jaw. Scottie is the one on that list that I think I would hesitate. Scottie's the one I'd want to think about. I really like Scottie Barnes. Cade, I'm still not a believer in him. He could be okay. I'm still not a believer. George is too old. Butler's too old. Again, Jaren's going to be a better Anthony Davis. And we already have a better Devin Booker and Bane.
Let's go. You're getting me fired up.
He makes
up.
Way less money. Will, and who, by the way, isn't a diva, doesn't date Kardashians and all that stuff. And isn't going to want to try to get to the New York Knicks at some point because he's connected there.
I think that trading for any of the guys that have already signed to max or super max deals basically just locks you in. And so Jaren's deal, I think, is going to prove to be extremely team friendly.
That's a great point. We hadn't talked about that yet.
That to me is like my hesitation with specifically Butler and Trae Young. Paul George too, he's making max. Anthony Davis again, yeah, too fragile. Booker is the one that I would say yes. And then Barnes is the other one that I would think through. But overall, Jaren's still pretty high in terms of, like, if I just had to lump him into this group where I would rank him, it would probably be 3.
We haven't hit a clear breaking point. The other point with that you were saying, though, is, like, on Jaren's deal, it is a de-escalating contract.
Yep.
Like, when you're looking at 25-26, and Russillo did talk about this on the pod very briefly, and they said they were going to come back to talk about Triple J, and they never did, which was quite infuriating. Because I was really curious to hear what he had to say about him. But, like, that $23 million and 25-26 could look like a steal.
That's like what Dylan Brooks, like, is making right now.
Yeah. I mean, it could look or amazing more based like on what the salary cap is and what it goes up to in that period. So, like, the next tier above it, I think the next two tiers together is where I think we'll really start to say, like, okay, this is where the clear break is. Like, you start to say, like, would you take Jaren for Bam straight up? I would. I think Bam is more durable, has the same defensive prowess, is basically the same type of fit. He's not as great from the outside as...
Who played more games last year, Bam or Jaren?
I know down the stretch Bam was injured, so it was probably Jaren.
Yep.
But
since you say he's more durable.
Over the first couple years of their career, I would imagine that Bam significantly outpaces Jaren in games played per year. If you took the first 3 years games played, we'll come back and stat check that. I don't think I'd do Jaylen. I don't think Drew is an overlapping fit, so it wouldn't work. I would do Brandon, and I would do Zion. I would.
Yeah, Jalen is.
I would not do Cat Gobert or
Jalen
Kawhi. I'm on the record. I wouldn't want Kawhi.
So yeah, Kawhi's too risky at this point.
No
yeah.
chance at Bam. He was almost unplayable offensively. Jaren can actually score, can put the ball in the basket. Unlike Bam,
that's a great point on Bam.
But he's great defensively.
He was a very strange. It'll be really interesting to see if Miami moves off of him based on like what happened in the playoffs. Like it was like, can you show up? And he didn't. But the counter to that is that I would say that Jaren was the same way the entire playoffs offensively.
If Santi Aldama became an all-star, Bam Adebayo would be the perfect counterpart.
That's awesome. I mean, I think that I just think again the upside of Jaren being
that's what
I
keep,
think
keep saying
is
the
good.
Upside, the upside, the upside. But.
Well, no, but I mean, well, okay. So right now, I think they're as the same defensively. I think they're the same, and I think Bam is never going to be good at offense. Jaren has a great capability of being good at offense. He's shown that.
I think this is where we diverge. I legit think that Jaren is getting. Like I think that he has this like body type where we think he's gonna hit some sort of offensive like climax or something, and I just don't. I think I'm coming closer to the opinion that he is what he is on offense, and like I haven't seen his shot change. His shot is awkward. He plays small. He's gonna always. I don't know. I think I'm just becoming a lot more bearish on the realization of his offensive upside. I hear the defensive like realization that he achieved, and that is awesome. I think that could become a stabilizing thing.
But I will say that Bam would never be able to space the floor. Jaren already, even not shooting that well, spaces the floor for us.
He's a threat.
He's
right
a threat
now.
To space the floor, and I will say that. He had a really good shooting year when he was
his
playing with
year.
Other good defensive centers. And I think this was his year of playing unbelievable on defense. And then he's got to get in the kind of shape where he can still shoot well and play hard defense. I think he's personally going to get there. And so anyway, but that's what I would say. Yeah. I mean, I would say that what I think Bam there, what we've seen of Bam, that he has hit his ceiling and he's staying there. Okay. And it's an awesome ceiling. I just think that I would rather have the guy who's really close to that ceiling defensively now and who could potentially really, really get better offensively.
Well, if the Pelicans call and say, we'll give you Zion for Jaren straight up.
Here's what
you
I
do
would
the
say
medical
to this.
Records. You check them. Everything looks fantastic. Zion says he loves Memphis. He likes barbecue, but he's not going to eat it. He's going to be on Jaws' training curriculum.
I would say yes to Zion. But here's the deal. This reminds me of the game show Deal or No Deal. Because I think it totally depends on how risk-averse you are. Because we're holding a suitcase, that is Jaren, and the banker is offering us, these are basically what the banker's offering us. Are we going to say yes? And what is the threshold for the offer getting this high that you say yes versus we have like options that it could be out here? And are we holding, like, you know, the $1 million or the $900,000 case? A lot has to happen for it to be that. And so, like, Zion is the same. Like, to me, they're almost interchangeable. Like, their risk profile with Zion versus Jaren.
I agree with you.
So, you can really...
I disagree.
You don't think...
We know. Where is your ranking for Jaren? What's your number?
Yeah. What's the number?
Like, in this thing...
Yeah, if you make your own trade list,
I mean,
which
I'm
you're gonna have
you,
a Grizz lens,
I mean, probably
on it.
Top 17, 18. I mean, I'm so far, yeah. Like, I mean, honestly, top 15, 16. I mean,
you're
I'm
putting
pretty
him,
high.
You're putting him at like 12 ahead of AD
and Booker.
So you're putting him 10.
I also just really...
I mean, with the Grizz lens, I mean, part of it, I mean, and also obviously, you know, a lot
the
of
exercise.
It's just, I know. That he works perfectly with Ja. I know that they're close friends. I know that they get along. And that's a lot of stuff with bringing in some of these other alpha type guys too. But part of it is I believe in the potential. I don't get freaked out. Like where, again, I'm a big Zion, the weight stuff, just the way he is. Like all those intangible stuff make me very nervous about Zion.
I'm with you.
The weight. And to me, it's different in that. Jaren has had one big injury and he's come back from it and played an entire year and looked fine, and he's now had this injury, which everybody seems to say is minor, and again, that could worry me. But like literally Zion, you look at his body and you're like, that can't last. And he's not doing anything to make you feel better about it by losing a lot of weight. And speaking of, you know, Jaren, at the same time, Jaren does not need athleticism in the same way that Zion must have athleticism.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, so those are the things. I mean, again, I'd have a meeting. So I'm being emphatic because I love
Jaren. You'd have an in-person call about it.
But I would have a meeting about it. But I just think for me, like, Zion is a perfect person to have next to Jaren. And that is much more the way I would be thinking going forward,
for sure.
Is waiting for the Pelicans to need to make a trade like that.
Would you trade Bane for Zion?
That would be more of a thought for me, yeah.
But, okay, the thing with Jaren is you can't talk about Jaren without talking about the fouls. And it's just one of those things that's like, I will believe it when I see that it's not going to be a problem. I'm confident that he has the ability to control himself as he grows into his body, as he gets more experienced, to make that, you know, less of a emphasis. And in the way that I'm thinking about Jaren, that has to be an aspect of, like, regardless of health, when you're 100%, can you stay in the game?
But was that an issue for any, like, but are we letting the T-Wolves series, where he was literally playing against one of the most offensive forwards in the game?
No.
And like, and people who drive the basketball, like an Anthony Edwards. Whereas like in the Warriors series, he was not in foul trouble at all.
Right. I think though the Warriors were the perfect matchup for him because you didn't have like a true center besides Kevon Looney. And when they did finally put Looney in, I mean, we kind of saw what happened. Granted, there we had plenty of injuries. But the point is the odds right now of him in terms of like average fouls in a game aren't in our favor. So if you look, I mean, he's still leading the league in fouls. So, and it's a big sample size. That's the only thing. But at the same time, the way that they have Jaren in this exercise, I believe is at least 20 spots too low. If
I also
not way
don't,
more.
I also don't think, especially if you watch like the way the Wolf series went, you can't put Cat where he's at and like, not kind of couple Jaren around it. Like Cat obviously has a lot more offensive prowess. His defense is so terrible. So it's like, that was the other thing that I was kind of looking at this and seeing, like, they basically went head to head and I thought they came away as both having like massive gaps in their game and sort of equal in terms of like their holistic impact in a big time series. And Jaren is like, what, 4 years younger. So like, I don't know exactly who I would move in my head or against. I'm willing to say he's like, for me at least, he's above 40.
But you would like, have Bane above Jaren.
100%.
Okay, and I would have Jaren above Bane.
So yeah. I would also have Jaren above Bane, I think, actually.
I know Jaren's defensive impact. I just think there's other ways around like solving some issues for him. I think everyone's saying like it's easier to find you another Bane. I don't think so. I think we're devaluing because we're in a shooting league right now. I think we're devaluing a little bit of how good Desmond Bane is. Right. That's what I think.
I mean, obviously, I'm just being a homer majorly anyway. I mean, I think with those three people, you can win a title. And so that's part of probably where I'm coming from the most is that I think the Kevin Durant thing's there because I know that part of it is I think KD doesn't want to come to the Grizzlies. I think he'd much rather go to the Phoenix Suns. But I do think that I think the Grizzlies would be surprised. Like, I think if we saw, like, if we were able to hear the talks, I think people would be very surprised with how stingy the Grizzlies would be.
About Jaren.
About
Jaren
and about Bane when it comes to KD, which I think people would be, like, shocked by.
Yeah, I agree with your take on the front office. It's not what I would do. I would do Jaren for Kevin Durant.
Okay. I think at this point,
this is why this is a part two.
Yeah.
Are there any other players that are worth like quick? You probably don't want to do this because we're like at hour three.
I mean, I would just say.
Oh, Dylan was an honorable mention, by the way.
Yeah, I would still have Zaire above Dylan, probably in my trade value. Personally, that would be the only quibble.
Yeah, I thought about that, but then I was like, man, would I take DeMar for Zaire? I might think about it.
No.
What did you take?
OG? You would take OG for Zaire, wouldn't you?
But I mean, in terms of Grizzlies ranking, like I would still have Zaire in honorable mention probably, but not Dylan.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, 100% agree with that.
Dylan
would be my dishonorable mention.
I mean, Dylan, so much of Dylan's value is him making up for other weaknesses on our team.
Totally.
You know, I mean,
it's specific.
His value is very specific to us, I think, which is part of the unfortunate thing because it makes him hard to trade.
But I think this honestly should become sort of like an annual exercise for us anyway with the Grizzlies, because I think that will help to I think it realistically aligns you with the decisions the front offices are making too and how they're thinking through this. And it also just helps to have like every player mapped out compared to yours. And let's hope that the Grizzlies just continue to rise. And I think especially as long as Bane and Jaren both are, depending on what Bane's next deal is, like you could continue to see them really high on these boards. So, and Ja, let's just get him into the top category. Let's just go ahead and do that. Well,
100%.
It's been a lot of fun for Brantley, for Kraft, for Ty, shout out. I'm Will. Join us next time. Who knows when we'll be potting again? Maybe we'll be talking about some Kevin Durant trade. Who knows? Probably not. Hopefully not. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. It's really late. But we'll talk to you soon when more Grizzlies news happens. Thanks for tuning in.